Catholic Radio Indy now presents Faith in Action, a program that looks at how everyday people put their faith into action in their everyday lives. Our program is underwritten in part by Franciscan St. Francis Health, providing faith-based integrated health care, a recipient of HealthGrade's 2015 America's 100 Best Hospitals Award, and by Marian University, a great Catholic university dedicated to providing students with excellence in teaching and learning in the Franciscan and liberal arts tradition, preparing transformative leaders for service to the world. And now, here's today's edition of Faith in Action. All right, this is Faith in Action here on Catholic Radio. I'm Jim Ganley. Our co-host is MJ Crowder.
Jim Ganley.
Well, we just had a spectacular golf outing and want to thank everybody who was a part of that because it was a big effort. We had a lot of volunteers, a lot of golfers, a lot of businesses that stepped up to the plate and sponsored holes and the various levels of sponsorship that we had. So we want to thank each and every business that participated, all the individuals and foursomes and the volunteers. It was a great day, and it did raise some money that every penny of it stays right here in Indianapolis to keep Catholic Radio, the station that you're listening to right now, on the air. So thank you very much.
And all the people who prayed for great weather, because the weather forecast was so iffy and questionable even up till that morning, Jim.
It really was. We were expecting showers sometime in the afternoon. It was just
a
matter of when. And it actually turned out to be about a 70, 72 degree afternoon.
It was perfect.
Partly cloudy skies, a little breeze. I mean,
couldn't have asked for it. And the thing about the golf outing is, remember this for next year, it's just a fun day. I mean, for the participants, there is a lot of work that goes into it behind the scenes. But for the participants, it's just fun all day. I mean, you arrive with a great lunch, beverage carts basically follow you around all afternoon, offer you all kinds of snacks and adult beverages. And then you come back to an incredible steak dinner at Peterson's Sullivan's. It was incredible. And then the prizes at the end. So
It was absolutely super.
Well, let's just jump in. Faith in Action today. Our guest today, Rick Alvis. He's the Wheeler Mission President and CEO. We also have Troy Riggs. He's the Vice President of the Sagamore Institute. Welcome, welcome, welcome.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you.
You know, I don't quite know how I got this email forwarded to me. I think it was a public file or public information file or something like that. But from the Sagamore Institute, basically, it was Baylor University was in there and a little bit about the Wheeler Mission. But it was a study that was done on 11 cities across the United States addressing how they were addressing homelessness, up, down, the needs, the gaps. And as I read that, I thought, I was surprised by a lot of the findings and where Indianapolis fell. So that's what prompted today was to kind of talk about a little bit more, raise awareness. And there was a lot about the Wheeler Mission that I thought I knew a little bit about the Wheeler Mission, but you guys do a lot more than I imagined. So before we get into all that, tell us a little bit about your families and what side of towns you live on. So let's start with you, Rick.
I live in Greenwood and three grown children and a three-year-old grandson that we are very proud of.
They're fun at that age.
They are. What about you, Troy?
Well, married for 27 years.
God bless
and
you.
We have two great kids. One is David. He's at Wabash College, plays soccer there. And then also Caleb, and he is in Washington, D.C. with a Heritage Christian School field trip. So he's enjoying D.C., but apparently it's very hot there right now.
So. Okay, well, let's just jump right in. It was interesting that we're talking about homelessness in Indianapolis and these 11 cities. I kind of honed in on Indianapolis. It was kind of interesting. But where does the burden fall? Where does the homelessness burden fall in Indianapolis? Because they talked about faith-based, how the needs were assessed and really taken care of. And they mentioned particularly, which I thought was interesting, the faith-based response to homelessness. And as I read it, it seemed to me that there is a presumption that the needs will be met significantly initially by faith-based organizations. Did you find that to be true?
That is true. So Baylor University came to Sagamore to go over their findings, and they went across the nation. But let's talk about Indianapolis for a moment. For a city our size, they found it very odd that the only shelter was not a municipal shelter, but a faith-based shelter, which is not necessarily a bad thing, because a faith-based shelter can provide food and clothing, but it can also provide hope through faith that a lot of cities don't have. So that's actually a positive in my view, not really a negative. But in my experience as the former director of public safety and police chief and working at the time with Mayor Ballard during the polar vortex, we continued to send people into Wheeler Mission, and Wheeler took everyone. And we took them for granted, quite frankly, and I was guilty of this as well, that we know we have a faith-based institution. They're fulfilling what Matthew talks about in Matthew, talking about feeding the hungry, clothing those are naked, visiting prisoners. A lot of these are reentrants. And when it got so cold outside that it was colder outside than inside your freezer in your home, then we knew we could turn to Wheeler, and they took everybody in. And as we continued to talk and talk to Rick and not take them for granted, because Mayor Ballard asked a question one time, where would we be without Wheeler?
Sure.
Wheeler was a turnkey operation. Nothing else was working very well. And Wheeler was there for us. But when I started thinking about that and visiting with Rick and visiting with the staff, was very concerned and really formed a great partnership. And then we get to this year and we see a looming crisis that Rick is near or over capacity, and it's wonderful weather right now, and yet we still have a winter that's coming. And I think that's a story that we at Sagamore wanted to get out, and Rick was able to tell those in attendance that story, and I appreciate you giving him time to tell that story to your listeners.
Well, you know, let me ask you a question, Rick, because you told me this off air, but I think we need to share it with our listeners. Tell me a little bit about the history of Wheeler Mission, when it was started, how long it's been around. That totally surprised me when you said that.
Well, yeah, we've been around since 1893, and it was actually started as a women's ministry at that time for women coming out of the jail. And it wasn't until the 30s that Wheeler actually got into housing men, transient-type men, homeless men, during the Depression. And since that time, that seems like whenever you think of Wheeler, you think of homeless men. But in year 2000, we had a women's ministry merge with us, a women's shelter. And so we house about 100 women and children every night. And then the men, it's 400 to 500 a night during the wintertime. But what's jumping back to the Baylor study too, what came across was that if it wasn't for the faith-based shelters, faith-based organizations in the city and across the nation, actually, but we found in Indianapolis particularly, if it wasn't for, the faith-based like Holy Family Shelter and Wheeler and others in the community, mm-hmm. Indianapolis being a big trouble, because there'd be no place, nowhere for the homeless to go.
Now, is Wheeler one of a kind, or is Wheeler part of a nationwide or worldwide organization, or is it right here?
I like to think of us as one of a kind, but, but there's a network of missions across the country. I always kind of compare it to Salvation Army. Salvation Army is one big organization across the country. Mm-hmm. Wheeler is a part of an association, but there's about 300 missions across the country, but we have our own independent director or board of directors. So, we are just local. We are, just mm-hmm. kind of specifically here. And we also have a mission in Bloomington, too.
Mm-hmm. You know, I was interested. I had no idea how big Wheeler Mission was. I know that you went through a huge expansion a few years ago. I think most of our listeners think of Wheeler Mission as a food pantry, and there's a little line out there, and they come in for a hot meal. Maybe a few people can spend the night. But when I asked you what the capacity was, mm-hmm. How big is your capacity at Wheeler Mission?
Well, that's an interesting question. I'll answer that. We built a new facility, actually expanded our shelter and remodeled and did. We put about $4 or $5 million into the downtown mission.
He tosses that around so easily. About $4 or $5 million
on Market and East Street. And the first year, this was in 2014, after we'd opened. I was just checking here a few months ago and found that on December 1st of 2014, we had 90 men in the mission, and we had 232 beds. So we thought, well, that's pretty good. We've got several years to grow into these beds.
Right.
Well, fast forward to December 1st, 2015, it was exactly double. We had 180 men, still 232 beds. You know, you're still, you know, not near capacity. Fast forward to December 1st, 2016, we had exactly double again.
Oh, my goodness.
You do the math on that one. That means that we had lots of people on the floor. And that's what we were trying to stay away from. And we're thinking, we're hoping and praying that we don't have double this December 1st of 2017, because that means we'd have 720 people, and we have no room for 720 people.
Well, God bless you for what you do. I mean, the Wheeler mission, and the whole point here is let's talk a little bit about it, and maybe more people will empty their pockets a little bit and help the mission. We need to take a break, and we'll be right back.
Think of all the media our young people are exposed to today. MTV, movies, what passes for entertainment on TV, song lyrics that are questionable or worse. Where do they hear the message that it's okay to be chaste and modest, or that it's not crazy to practice their faith, or to believe in a God who loves them and can forgive them no matter what they do? Catholic Radio is the answer. Be sure to tell your friends and relatives about Catholic Radio Indy.
I've got the spirit.
Hi, this is Teresa Tomeo from Catholic Connection.
Hi, this is Barbara McWiggin, host of The Good Fight here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Hi, everybody. This is Dr. Ray Guarendi, host of The Doctor Is In Here on Catholic Radio Indy.
Hi, I'm Al Cresta, and you can join me for Cresta in the Afternoon here on Catholic Radio Indy.
The best of EWTN plus great local programming. That's what you get when you support Catholic Radio Indy.
Since 1968, the Motion Picture Association of America has been rating movies based on violence, language, sexual content, etc. But what if their judgment as to what's appropriate for your family is different from yours? Wouldn't it be nice to get a second opinion? Maybe one from a Catholic perspective. Catholic News Service and the former Office of Film and Broadcasting of the U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops have teamed up to continue the tradition of giving every movie a rating, one that you might find much more appropriate for your family. Where can you find these ratings? The easiest place is right on our website, CatholicRadioIndy.org. Right on the opening page, just look for the yellow Movie Ratings tab. When the kids ask, "Hey, can we go to the movies?" or you just want to go yourself, check out the Catholic movie ratings at CatholicRadioIndy.org. It never hurts to get a second opinion.
Have you ever thought about joining the Catholic Church? Have you just wanted to explore the Catholic faith? All you need to do is call your local Catholic Church for more information. We are always happy to help you in your journey to discover and learn more about the Catholic faith. We have classes that are almost year-round, and the classes and information sessions do not involve making a commitment, and there is no pressure to join. Please call your local Catholic parish for more information today and start the journey of one day possibly becoming Catholic as well. God bless.
Every morning I get in my car, I say a prayer, and I sit and I listen. It gets me in the mood to go in and handle my day.
Catholic Radio Indy.
Ever since we've been on the air at Catholic Radio, we've always wanted to have billboards, but they just don't fit in our budget. And since you'll probably never see a real billboard for us, I'm going to ask you to do something, to imagine one. In your mind, picture a large, empty billboard. Yeah, that's it. Now pick a background color, any color at all. Okay, then across the top of your billboard, put just two words, Catholic Radio. Make them really big. Then, below that in even bigger letters, put 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Wow, that's a great billboard. Now, if this billboard were real, all of your friends and neighbors could see it, and they'd know all about Catholic Radio. But since it's only an imaginary billboard, we're going to have to depend on you to tell your friends about Catholic Radio. Remember, Catholic Radio 89.1 and 90.9 FM. Oh, and by the way, nice choice on that background color. It really looks good.
Welcome back to Faith in Action. Our guest this afternoon, Rick Alvis. He's the Wheeler Mission President and CEO. And from the Sagamore Institute here in Indianapolis, we have Troy Riggs. He's the Vice President. You know, we were talking in the first half a little bit about the Wheeler Mission, the findings through the Baylor University, basically commissioned with the Sagamore Institute, talking about assessing the faith-based response to homelessness in America, top 11 cities, but specifically Indianapolis. And we basically said that the majority of the burden falls on the faith-based community. In fact, almost all of it here in Indianapolis. So if that's where the burden falls, and we talked a little bit in the first half about Wheeler Mission not being able to carry the complete burden, what happens? Where do we go from here, Troy?
Well, we have to understand the issue first, and thank you for allowing us to be here and talk about that and letting Rick share the good work and the challenges that they have coming forward. But really, we need to think as a community. This is a community issue. Mm-hmm. We cannot abdicate our responsibility to government to solve these problems. This, when someone is homeless, they've lost connection, they may have a dependency issue, they've lost hope. It takes the faith-based community to help that individual get restored.
Amen.
And I have seen that time and time again. And so I'm a big believer in government assisting. I'm a big believer that government can play a role. But when it comes to this type of ministry that Rick is doing, is far superior to government. And I say that because I've been involved in government for 27 years. I have worked in three different states. I have been a police chief, assistant city manager, director of public safety. We house people in municipal shelters. All we do is we deal with a crisis, we bring people in, and a lot of times municipal shelters kick people out when it gets nicer. What Rick does is not only provide them shelter, but provides them and their family hope for the future. And this is difficult work, and that's why so many members in the community, and why I say it's a community initiative, why so many members in the community, specifically faith-based, really I would ask them to consider rolling up their sleeves and volunteering time and working and bringing their skills, but also giving those monetary donations that are so badly needed, especially when you look at what we could be dealing with, not just this winter, but in the upcoming years.
I think that an organization like Wheeler probably operates much more efficiently as well. When you get into government, they tend to be top-heavy with hierarchy and executives doing everything. And, you know, with Wheeler, it's much more focused on the person that's standing in line that needs the food, that needs a place to stay for the night. Would that be correct?
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
Well, and, yep. And Wheeler Mission, you've got a structure and a hierarchy and a physical plant. I know there are lots of parishes in town, Catholic, non-Catholic, all over the board, that open up, that have little kitchens, and they make peanut butter and jelly sandwiches and take them down and deliver them under the, you know, under the overpasses throughout the winter and through the summer. I know there's a lot of that going on. We've interviewed a lot of people when it comes to that. However, Rick, I wondered if you could address a little bit. I was very interested to read in this kind of feedback, if you will, a report, if you will, that Wheeler Mission also has outreach programs. You don't just feed and you don't just house them, but you teach them to fish, if you will. And I think that's the point. I think, you know, Troy, you touched on that a little bit, but it's our responsibility to help them. But helping them is not necessarily just feeding them and giving them a place to stay.
Right.
Right. You know, we feel as though that the people who get, you know, absorbed into addiction, because so much of what we see from the homeless community, probably 50 to 60% of the people we deal with are addicts of some sort. And so, you know, our desire is to get these people out of this lifestyle and to get them into a program where Christ can fill their hearts and their lives and they can be a new person again. Because they're so discouraged anyway, they're so beat down, and when they get into our place, at least we have something to offer them. As Troy was saying, government doesn't have anything to offer. All they can do is give them a house over their head, a roof over their head, but they can't go any further than that.
Sure.
And whereas we can do that. And so we have addiction recovery programs for men and women. We don't have enough beds. That's always an issue. But we are seeing results in when people come into our programs. 80% of them actually graduate from our programs. And, you know, that's exciting when we see people who have struggled. We've had wives that's dropped their men off at our door and said, I've had it. We've been married. I'm headed to divorce court. I'm out of here. And we say, time out. Let us have a few months with this guy. And we've seen marriages come back together. And, you know, to us, it's payday when we see people who have come out of their lifestyle of addiction and, you know, be, you know, people who can be very much a benefit to the community. Now, you know, and it's just not homeless people. Let me explain that. We see a lot of addiction in the churches, in the local churches. And we get just as many people that want to come into our programs from the local churches as we do people off the street.
Oh, interesting. So you're talking about people, moms and dads that live at home with two or three kids, they have an addiction problem, and they go to you to access your program, your addiction programs. I didn't know that.
Yes.
Okay, so how are you, if you're not getting taxpayer funds, how are you funded? What's your big fundraiser?
Well, we most of our income, we have over a $10 million budget this year, and probably 75-80% of that comes from individuals. And our big fundraiser, you might say, if you want to call it a fundraiser, is our drumstick dash on Thanksgiving morning. When you see 20,000 walkers and runners going down the streets of Broad Ripple. You know, we'll generate, you know, I think this last year we probably generated $450,000 net off of that. So that is our big fundraiser, you might say.
That's fun. That's fun. Listeners, if you've never done that before, it's I was telling Rick off air that that's really a win-win, because it's great to give money. It's great to know that you're supporting a wonderful cause like Wheeler Mission and your little slogan, you know, move your feet so more people can eat, you know, type deal.
Right.
That's one thing. But the first reason we started doing it with our family, we have five kids, is because we were thinking about the pumpkin and the pecan pie that was going to come. And we figured, listen, the end justifies the means.
Sure.
So if we started walking early, we could enjoy the pie later in the afternoon. But what a delightful fundraiser, because I know a lot of effort goes into it, but it seemed to me more like a community type effort, just kind of like a grassroots, all your neighbors get together and you walk around Broad Ripple.
Yeah.
I'm oversimplifying it, I know, but.
But we do have a coming crisis, don't we, Troy?
We do, and as we looked at the information from Baylor, and then we started digging in deeper, and that's one of the great things with working in Sagamore now. Some of the things that were concerning to me in government, I've had time to really dig in deep. And what we're concerned about is not just this winter, but the years past that. The reason we're having so many issues is that Indianapolis, over the years between 2000 and 2015, saw a great increase in population. The population increased by about 89,000, almost 90,000 people.
In Indianapolis,
okay. Which is pretty rapid growth. And at the time in 2000, our poverty rate was 11%. Think about that, 11%, which seems high, but it's not bad compared to some other cities.
Mm-hmm.
But in 2015, the poverty rate had grown to 21%.
Wow.
So we 21%. So we looked at the numbers and we compared growth in poverty to growth of population.
Okay.
Population growth right around 90. Poverty growth, 85,000 fellow Hoosiers, Indianapolis residents. So if you compare poverty to population growth, it was 95%.
That's
so
huge.
So speak of the population growth. So what does that mean for government? More services are needed. Revenue is going down for the city. And we have all these issues that we have to deal with. That's why we have a crisis now. And then you throw on the number of food insecurity, people in food insecurity, meaning that they do not get three good meals a day. That's about 20% of our population. For us as a city, to meet that need that we currently have would be $84 million. That's the issue, the real issue that we're facing in Indianapolis. And some people say, well, maybe that's because a lot of people moved to Fishers and Carmel and some other places. That may be part of it. However, the poverty rates in those cities are going up as well now.
Okay, so there is a looming crisis. We're aware of it. I mean, we're talking about it right now. Local government has to be aware of it, correct?
Absolutely.
Okay, mm-hmm. So we've already kind of mentioned that heretofore the burden has fallen on faith-based outreach Wheeler Mission, Holy Family Shelter, other churches around town. But there is still a significant need that needs to be addressed. So what do you do? I mean, how do you... we're not talking about a city-based shelter here. I mean, I don't see the city, you know, pitching in $50 million to build a shelter, and that I don't see that happening. So what's the answer?
Well, financially, the city just can't.
Right.
There are some things that could potentially happen on a state level, federal level, but at the end of the day, it's community responsibilities. We need to think of fellow Hoosiers as our family and friends. And if I had a family member in need, I want them to go to an organization like Wheeler, where they're going to get shelter, they're going to be loved, they're going to be mentored, and they're going to have a road for recovery
if they're
successful. And what we need to do is empower Wheeler to do more of that.
Okay, do you have the facility to do that? If you were to, a whole bunch of money were to be dumped on you, could you expand your capacity?
We do not have the facility right now. We're maxed out on everything that we have. And so that's what we're trying to do now, is to find other partners that can come to the table, like churches that may have gymnasiums that we can use during that peak time of the winter, and have partners like that. Rather than putting millions of dollars into more facilities, let's try to find partners.
Well, and we have had churches that have been closed in the downtown and inner city area. We have those facilities, but we haven't been able to keep them open. Maybe here, are you listening, Archdiocese? Are you listening? Maybe those are facilities that could be used in some way. Yeah. If you're just now tuning in, listeners, Rick Alvis, Wheeler Mission President and CEO, and Troy Riggs, Vice President of Sagamore Institute. Very interesting. Lots of ground covered here today. We've got about a minute left. I'm going to cede it to you guys. What do you want to offer our listeners?
Just thanks for having us here, and I would ask your listeners to prayerfully consider getting involved, whether that's rolling up your sleeves or giving money, or maybe you need to begin by just visiting Rick at Wheeler.
Yeah, and I'd encourage people to come down and visit us, and your eyes will be opened of what's going on and what's happening, because people just see Wheeler in a very, as you mentioned earlier, very just a minute, area, and we are so broad.
Amen.
Is there a website where people can go? I know a lot of people get mail solicitations for donations, but is there a place where somebody who's not on the mailing list can go?
Sure. Just WheelerMission.org.
WheelerMission.org. God bless you both for being our guests on Faith in Action.
You've been listening to Faith in Action, underwritten in part by Marion University and by Franciscan St. Francis Health. If you'd like to suggest a guest or a topic for a future program, call us at 317-870-8400 or email mj@catholicradioindy.org. And remember, you can hear or download this program or any Faith in Action program 24/7 at catholicradioindy.org. Just click on the Programming tab and select Podcasts.